It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 172 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. You know, last week we went into details about all of the updated points rebalancing, but we skipped over perhaps some of the most exciting points updates, finally getting the points for the new Wave 4 ships.
The updated points won't be officially used until just a few weeks from now, and also you won't be able to use any of the Wave 4 ships until they officially release on July 11th, in spite of the fact that they're still available out there from certain retailers who are a little confused.
Right, but the points are available, so you can proxy up some of these ships, or, you know, just proxy up some of the new cool upgrade cards from these packs as well.
So today we're going to focus on two of the upcoming expansions, the Hyena-class Droid Bomber for the Separatists and the N1 Naboo Starfighter for the Republic.
Right. There was just kind of too much with all three of these expansions, so we broke it up a bit.
So today we're going to look at all these new ship types, pilots, and upgrade cards and just give us kind of a quick once over. We're in a cool position where normally when we get the preview information for all these ships, even if we know all the pilot cards and upgrades, we don't always have the point total. So I'm actually pretty excited that we can actually look at the actual point values for these.
Right. It means we have a cool idea of how they'll actually work on the table before we get them in our hands. So I think that'll be fun. And let's not keep our listeners waiting. Let's just get right to it.
All right, so let's start off by looking at the Hyena-class Droid Bomber expansion.
Yeah, you know, when this was previewed, it was definitely the one I was least excited about. And then the points dropped, and wow, this was a lot cheaper than I thought it would be.
Well, it wasn't even just the point drop there. Once we got to look at the upgrade bar, actually all the different upgrade bars that this ship has, it suddenly became a lot more interesting.
Right, we knew there was some diversity within its action bar amongst all of its pilots, but seeing the diversity in the upgrades they can take really diversified all these pilots.
So looking at the general information that's mostly consistent across all the pilots, we have a consistent stat line, at least 2 attack dice, 2 agility dice, and 5 hull. And it's got a reasonably good dial, one that complements, I think, the Vulture class droid more than anything.
Right, so it kind of mirrors the Vulture dial, except it's going to have more emphasis on the slower speed maneuvers compared to the faster maneuvers.
And much like the Vulture class, also, it has a really easy time doing the straight maneuvers and the turn maneuvers, and because they're droids, they have a weird time with kind of the human angle maneuvers, the banks and whatnot. So those are a little bit more difficult than the straights and the turns.
Right, I mean, so the Vulture doesn't have the one bank maneuver, and has red 3 banks. The Hyena doesn't have the 3 bank maneuver and has red 1 banks.
Top to bottom, though, the maneuver dial is actually pretty good for such a cheap ship. At the 1 speed level, it has straight and turn maneuvers, white, and then red 1 banks. At the 2 speed level, it's got blue 2 forward and 2 turns with white 2 banks, along with 2 speed talon rolls and a 2K turn. At the 3 speed, it's got a 3 blue straight and white hard turns, no banks there, and then a white 4 straight and a red 5 straight.
Right. I mean, so these droid dials have been super interesting where, you know, especially when you're playing a swarm and you're trying to, you know, cast a wide net approaching your opponent so that they can't get out of your firing arcs. It means that you really have to make the correct call on where your opponent's going to be. Because usually that bank maneuver is like, well, you know, I can kind of catch them on 2 different maneuvers with the bank. Now you have to really decide if you're going straight or turning.
Yeah, and this actually came up for me in a game today where I kind of could see that my opponent with the Vulture Swarm had to commit kind of to one direction, either straight or hard turns, since from the position we were at, the 3 red banks that the Vultures can do were not a good option. So I kind of knew that was kind of zoned out here. So I think it'll be a lot of the same with the Hyena, where since it's so good at those like straight and hard turn maneuvers, swarmlists that use a bunch of Hyenas are going to have to be a little bit more committal to where they're going.
Right, but they do have some pretty cool blue maneuvers, which works well with their action bar. You know, of course, they have the calculate because they're droids. They have the lock action, and then they have a barrel roll linked into a red lock, or normally they have a red reload action.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a bit, but one of the pilots, DBS-32C, has a slightly different action bar.
Right, but you do have quite a bit of red actions there. So those blue maneuvers, you know, if you are, you know, guessing right with your hard committal maneuvers, you can do some pretty cool things with their action bar.
And I think having access to barrel roll and then blue two hard turns makes that red reload a little bit more appealing, because you're not going to be kind of stuck out of the game for an extra couple turns. You can start to turn back into the fight and still clear that stress.
Absolutely. And barrel rolling into a lock is going to be pretty good. You know, when you look at their upgrade slots, because these guys can take a lot of different munitions.
Yeah, and now we're going to hit it. When we hit each pilot here, we'll talk about the slots, because the slots actually vary quite a bit from ship to ship. There is kind of a standard array we see on a couple of them, which is torpedo, missile, device, modification, and configuration. But that starts to shake up from pilot to pilot. So I think we should start, though, by looking at the generic level here and looking at some point values.
Right, so we have the Techno Union Bomber, our cheapest Hyena class. It's initiative 1 for just 26 points. Which is very cheap.
Seeing this point value made us start to be more interested in this ship, whereas before we were just kind of ignoring it. But 26 points is super cheap for this chassis.
Right. I mean, you compare that to the 25-point Gold Squadron Trooper Torrent that's, you know, seen a bunch of play, you know, 5 hit points backed up by 2 agility, very comparable. Now you have that network calculation ship ability. You know, I think this is a pretty substantial piece just to take at face value there.
Yeah, and when we were looking at the Vulture droids, one thing I've kind of noticed playing them now, at first I thought when the Vulture droids only had 3 hull and 2 agility, I thought they'd fall apart pretty quickly. But having access to the network calculation ship ability, which the Hyena class also has, actually adds a lot of defensibility to them, because being able to share those calculate tokens means each of these ships can actually get multiple defensive modifications in a round, as opposed to something like a TIE fighter or some other common swarm ship, where usually they'll get their one action and that's the only defensive modification they can have. So if they spend it on one attack, if they get attacked again, they're not going to have anything.
Right. I mean, and, you know, with network calculations, you can get, you know, just with support through other droids, be it other Hyenas or Vultures, now you can get double modification. You know, your ship with the munition takes a target lock and then can borrow that focus from its friends. Now these come in at like a really great value. You know, Vultures also went down, so you can get some really cheap, you know, just support calculate engines going next to these guys as well. One thing I like about the Techno Union being at 26 points, that means, you know, even with proton torpedoes going up a bit, you can still fit 5 of these guys with proton torpedoes, and one of them will have the probe droids to set up some early target locks. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that would be a pretty insane alpha strike to have 5 proton torpedoes going. And even though they're just low initiative, even if your opponent could kill one of them, you could still follow up with, you know, 4 proton torpedo shots. So if you could set that up, that's going to be pretty impressive. Moving down the line, though, we actually have a lot of interesting ability options looking at the limited pilots. So starting with the 2-dot limited Bactoid prototype coming in at initiative 1 at 28 points. It's got a slightly different modification bar like we see across a lot of these. Sensor, 2 missile slots, a modification slot, and the configuration slot. And this one comes with the ability, while you perform a special attack, if a friendly ship with the networked calculation ship ability has a lock on the defender, you may ignore the lock, focus, and calculate requirement of that attack.
Right. So, I mean, that's a pretty clear focus that let's, you know, really think about munitions with this ship. But I think really what makes this ship unique is that upgrade bar of the double missile instead of the torpedo and device there. Plus you get the sensor slot.
Yeah, so you can actually kit this ship out quite a bit differently than some of the other Hyenas, even the generic ones. And I think that makes it pretty interesting. Now, the first thing I thought when I saw 2 missile slots was, oh, great, an awesome new platform for barrage rockets. And then as I kind of thought about the implications of that, it's not actually a good platform for that upgrade card.
Right. Barrage rockets has some pretty important text of requiring a focus action to fire, which, you know, you could get around that with their ability. But that's probably not where you want to start with, you know, seeing as they don't have the focus action. And you want to use the calculate. But luckily, we got a missile that is very similar to barrage rockets made for them.
We were going to talk about the upgrades at the end here, but we'll dive a little bit in since this one's pretty specific to the Bactoid prototype. The Diamond Boron missiles, which require 2 missile slots, they cost 6 points, which is pretty cheap. They have an attack value of 3 out the forward arc, and they come with 3 charges. And they read, attack, lock, spend 1 charge. After this attack hits, you may spend 1 charge. If you do, each ship at range 0 to 1 of the defender with agility equal to or less than the defender's rolls 1 attack die and suffers 1 hit or crit damage for each matching result.
Right. So, I mean, this is not a great munition, but it's super cheap. So, you know, you have that lock requirement, but you can get around that with the Bactoid prototype's ship ability.
Yeah, so you don't even need to have one of your Bactoid prototypes target locking on it, just any ship that has network calculations. So it could just be like a low-level Vulture class that gets the target lock, so you can get some other modifications, probably a calculate, in case you're not within range, you know, to shoot this right away.
Right, I mean, which is good because these guys are initiative 1, so sometimes getting that lock could be a little rough, but you can have a friend, you know, maybe like your little scout Vulture come up and get that lock. You don't have really any other requirements, just whatever mods you did get, be it calculates or a lock, to modify this really affordable 3 dice attack. And of course, you can burn through those charges to do some splash damage.
But even if you're not, I mean, for 6 points, giving them access to pretty ready access to a 3 attack dice attack isn't terrible. And if it happens that you hit a reasonably high agility target, it can splash out 1 or 2 damage on other ships. I mean, that's worth a charge spend for sure.
Right. I mean, and burning through those charges is not too bad. You have that reload action, you know, do some early damage. I mean, these guys with the Diamond Boron missiles are coming in just at 34 points, which is really affordable.
They kind of remind me of like flying a gunboat over with the Imperials, where if you get a munitions off early, you do some damage. That's great. And if you have an opportunity to reload and shoot again, you just keep, you know, compounding the value of that cheap ship. And if they destroy it, you didn't invest a whole lot.
No.
Sub 40 points.
Now, in the completely opposite direction, we have the Bombardment Drone, which is limited 3, is an initiative 3 ship for 32 points. So a little bit of a price bump there, but you get higher initiative, and your upgrade slot is also very different. You get that sensor and then 2 device slots, your modification and configuration slots.
Yeah, and the Bombardment Drones have the pilot ability. If you would drop a device, same template.
Right. I mean, so pretty cool. Just a, you know, normally a 1-speed launch. Pretty nifty.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, 1 hard turn maneuver, so you can drop something and potentially actually get out of the detonation range.
Right. I mean, you can use the delayed fuses, you know, if you're dropping like a mine and still go over it.
So, yeah, I think these present some pretty interesting bomb dropping options. And for the most part, like the only bombs I've actually been using have been seismic charges, because those have been pretty effective against a lot of things. It's great to remove, you know, asteroids and debris from the battlefield. Sometimes you need that to move your other ships around.
Right, because you don't like playing the game.
I don't like playing X-Wing. I want to play just on a blank board like I did when I first started it. But I think the Bombardment Drones open up some opportunities for some of those other bombs to actually start shining. Especially with the introduction of the delayed fuses, being able to fly over a mine feels pretty good.
Right. Now, moving on to the really expensive side, we have DBS-32C, also an Initiative 3 Hyena, but now at 42 points. So very expensive upgrade. Hopefully we're getting something good out of it.
Yeah, so I mean, far and away, this is the most expensive of the Hyenas. This one comes in a whopping 10 points more than the next cheapest one. And this one's very different, though. So this is the one with a very different action bar, or, you know, reasonably different action bar. You have the calculate lock and then barrel roll linked into a red lock still. But instead of having that reload, you actually have a red jam action.
Right. And, you know, you don't have that reload. Well, that should point you in the right direction. You know, most of these Hyenas focus on munitions, being it missiles, torpedoes, or bombs. 32C is not going to focus on that. This is your support or control platform. It's got, you know, instead of, you know, missile, torpedo, device slots, it's got the sensor and then the separatist tactical relay slot, which is, you know, full of really cool support abilities, particularly for your calculate ships.
Yeah, and on top of all that, DBS-32C also has a really interesting pilot ability. At the start of the engagement phase, you may spend one calculate token to perform a coordinate action. You cannot coordinate to ships that do not have the networked calculation ship ability.
Right, so only vultures or hyenas. But a start of engagement phase coordinate is very powerful, particularly if you have all these low initiative ships that really want to be able to get a target lock to fire their powerful munitions.
And I think the other thing that makes this ship interesting is that it's kind of a cheaper way to invest in a platform to carry a tactical relay. Because so far you'd had to, you know, bring something out like a Sith Infiltrator or even just slightly cheaper, a Belbalab, in order to get a tactical relay out. Here you can run a purely networked calculation swarm that has a tactical relay, like Kraken, who lets you hold on to calculate tokens to the next round. This is a great platform to do that. So you can have a hyena, a full swarm of vultures, and then still have those awesome tactical relay options.
Right. Well, and what I also really like about this, having that tactical relay, which is just awesome, is that it has the network calculations and calculate action built into the ship. There's some really cool tactical relays that, like the one that lets you spend a calculate for an evade token effect, that I really wish the ship having it could use that ability as well. Well, 32C can. So I think that's a really cool new dimension for the tactical relays.
And actually, you know, even just throwing Kraken onto DBS-32C gives you the option to have your DBS-32C retain its own calculate token, so it can have an extra one to spend on a coordinate in the following round. Now, the last pilot we're going to talk about is the highest initiative one at initiative 4, costs 30 points, and this is DBS-404. So this one's limited to just one. It's got the torpedo missile device modification and configuration slot, so more or less the standard array for a hyena. And it comes with the ability, you can perform primary attacks at range 0. While you perform an attack at range 0 to 1, you must roll one additional die. After the attack hits, suffer one critical damage.
Right, so kind of a cool pilot ability here. Kind of counterintuitive, though, when you want to be firing munitions.
Yeah, so this one kind of is very different than all the other hyenas. This one obviously goes for a different strategy, more of a standalone ship. We talked about it a little bit beforehand when we first saw it weeks ago. It's cool to have an ability where it can attack at range 0, because that means it can go into situations where DBS-404 can attack but cannot be attacked in return, which is cool. Suffering a critical damage is a pretty steep cost, even for rolling an extra attack die, because with just hull, you're going to suffer the full effect of all those crits.
Right. I mean, I think DBS-404 is generally, you're just paying for that initiative. I mean, the initiative 3 hyena comes in at 29 points. So for just one more point, you get that initiative 4 and then this ability, which is totally optional. You don't have to perform a primary attack at range 0 if you don't want to. You just have that option. So pretty cool. All right. So we've looked through all the pilots. I just want to take a minute to, you know, just kind of put the big picture together. How do we see these hyenas working on the table?
Well, I like the hyena so far because I think it's got some versatility. So it's actually a pretty solid platform, even if you're not loading them out with munitions. They're pretty inexpensive. They have networked calculations, which means they work well with each other, and vulture-class droids. So they could work pretty good in a swarm, especially since they have, you know, 5 hit points and still have that defensive modification from networked calculations.
Absolutely. I think their synergy, you know, taking some hyenas and mixing them with some vultures, I think there's a lot of potential there. Just through that network calculations. And then, of course, you compare that with a cool tactical relay to make your calculate actions even more powerful.
They're also pretty cool as a inexpensive probe droid carrier, since probe droids are just a device, which obviously they love getting target locks if they are going to be loaded out with munitions. So being able to drop a probe droid and then let all your hyenas get a target lock from a greater range, that's a pretty good way to set up some really devastating attacks.
Right. I mean, and even if we're talking about mixing these with other vultures or other separatist ships, you know, everybody likes a free early target lock, and the probe droids are one of the best ways to do that. So just, you know, throwing some probe droids on one hyena can give you a really big boost on your opening attacks, you know, even if you don't have any munitions. And they're amazing if you do have a bunch of munitions.
So I guess that's the big question, Carson. What do you think is going to be the better way to fly these? Load it out with munitions or just using their chassis in a swarm?
I mean, I think both are going to be pretty good. You know, these guys are real affordable, which means you can afford those expensive munitions and still, you know, not break the bank. You know, you can afford those 13-point proton torpedoes and still be under 40 points with one of these hyenas. But because they're so cheap, I think their swarm potential is pretty good too. You know, they compare pretty well to a torrent, which has seen pretty good amount of play. And, you know, with these powerful, you know, whole squad support abilities you get from the tactical relays, I can think, you know, let's just maximize numbers can be a pretty good strategy as well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, all this put together, I'm suddenly a lot more interested in the Separatists than I was before.
All right, it's time to talk about the shiny, the Naboo Royal N1 Starfighter.
Yes, the shiny chrome and yellow, banana yellow starfighter from everyone's favorite Star Wars movie, Episode 1. This is a pretty interesting platform. So this thing is a situation where I actually expected its stat line to be different than it turned out. Like, I kind of had some preconceived notions once they announced this was going to be in the game of what kind of ship it would be.
Right. I mean, it kind of feels like your nimble Arc Dodger classic 3 agility ship. But how would you make that different than the Jedi Starfighter, right?
Yeah, and especially now that we see a lot cheaper options to get non-Delta 7B Jedi Starfighters, those seem a lot more equivalent to kind of the A-Wing style ship. So it's kind of interesting seeing what they did with the N1 to make it stand apart from other nimble ships.
Right. I really like the design solution that they ended up on.
Yeah, so the N1 Starfighter comes with 2 attack, 2 agility, 3 hull, and 2 shields. It has, most of the pilots have a talent slot except for the 2 lower level ones, and they all have a sensor, torpedo, and astromech slot.
Right, and you pair that with focus, lock, barrel roll, and boost on their action bar. No linked actions, but they do have the full throttle ship ability after you fully execute a speed 3, 4, or 5 maneuver you may perform an evade action.
So we've seen this ship ability before on the TIE Defender. It's interesting, though, how they're using it here. So it kind of feels quite a bit different than the TIE Defender's version. The TIE Defender, obviously, a very expensive ship with a lot of attack power. And being able to get that evade means it paired really well with cards like Juke until they got way more expensive. The Naboo Starfighter uses it in a different way, though. These things don't hit so hard unless you're going the torpedo route. And they only have 2 agility. So it's a cool design choice because it kind of puts the N1 Starfighter in the category of like a nimble small ship, but the way it gets its agility is not gambling on 3 dice, which could be inconsistent. It's kind of giving you more consistent 2 agility ship.
Right. I think that compares pretty well to 3 green dice without any modification.
And Fantasy Flight kind of threw me for a loop when they dropped the points update and we saw Juke go up even more to 7 points, which seemed like an auto include on a lot of these N1 Starfighters. Now that it's so much more expensive and you're only modifying a 2 attack dice ship, I'm not sure if that's the route I'd go right now.
Right. I think time will tell. I mean, they are priced pretty affordably to begin with, so maybe Juke is on the table. But I think, you know, even without upgrades, all these pilots look pretty cool.
So the baseline N1 is the Bravo Flight Officer. This is a non-limited ship, Initiative 2, and it comes in at just 34 points, so pretty inexpensive for what you're getting.
Right. I think, you know, this is going to be a pretty good filler ship for the Republic faction. 34 points, that can fit into a lot of lists. And I think the ship can do a lot, you know, without any upgrades. You know, just getting that free evade token is going to make it, you know, not a good target for your opponent.
And this does fill in kind of a points gap that the Republic has where, you know, there's kind of a steep jump here from a like an uber cheap Gold Squadron Trooper in a V-19 up to, you know, the cheapest Jedi Starfighter's 39 or the cheapest ARC 170 is 42. At 34 points, you have something to kind of fill the gap there. Reasonably durable, going to have more consistent defense. Not going to hit super hard like maybe a 7B Jedi Starfighter or an ARC 170, but a good middle option there if you need to fill in some points. And you can't quite, you know, go all the way up to one of those stronger ships or all the way down to a trooper.
Yeah, and then we also have the Naboo Handmaiden, which is a limited 2 ship for the N1. This is coming in at just Initiative 1 for a whopping 44 points. So 10 more points than the Bravo. We go down in initiative, so this better have pretty good ability. It doesn't even get a talent slot.
Yeah, this one's super interesting because it's the second most expensive N1 by, you know, a decent margin. It does come with, you know, maybe the more interesting design of all of the N1s. The Nebu Handmaiden, you can have up to two of them, and they have the ability set up after placing forces, assign the decoyed condition to one friendly ship other than Nebu Handmaiden.
Right, and that decoyed condition reads, while you defend, each friendly Nebu Handmaiden in the attack arc may spend one evade token to change one of your results to an evade result. But if the ship that is decoyed is also a Nebu Royal N1 Starfighter, then each friendly Nebu Handmaiden in the attack arc can spend that evade token to add evade result instead.
Yeah, so this is interesting to me because it's pretty expensive for Initiative 1 ship. Obviously, with the full throttle ability, you're going to get basically free evades in most cases. I'm interested to see if this is actually a feasible strategy because you don't have to include two of these in a list. You could include just one to, you know, back up one other ship, add some extra defense to it. And if it's an N1 Starfighter, being able to add a result is quite a bit more powerful than just changing a result because you can get the full modification on the normal agility die and then add one on top of that. So potentially evading three results instead of just two.
Right, and I think it's pretty flavorful. You know, it's much easier to be a decoy when you're decoying the same ship. So I think that's pretty cool. But I also like the potential there to be able to protect some other ships, you know, like a really expensive Jedi Starfighter like Anakin, you know, could really use some extra help on his green dice sometimes.
I guess the point where I'm probably apprehensive about this is 44, even for one of these, is pretty expensive for an Initiative 1 that could get taken apart, you know, pretty quickly if it gets focused down. I'm interested to see if that's going to be a viable strategy competitively, or if people are just going to pursue other options there, go with one of the, you know, slightly cheaper pilots that still have some pretty good abilities.
Right. I mean, I do like that you don't spend your evade token until you need to. You know, it's a reactive ability, which means, you know, you can keep the defense up on this handmaiden. You can, you know, get that free evade and focus. And that's going to be a tough ship to burn down by itself, you know, having two modification on two green dice is pretty good. You know, we've seen TIE Phantoms have that same capability, and they're pretty tough to burn down.
And if the opponent opts to shoot a Nebu Handmaiden instead of the ship it's protecting, well, that's kind of the point, right? You wanted to draw a fire away from a more valuable ship, which if they shoot at Nebu Handmaiden, great, you've done that without having to use the condition.
Right. I think we'll see Nebu Handmaiden be played is not taking two of them, but just one. I think one Nebu Handmaiden can be really impactful in protecting a more important ship.
So one of the pilots I'm really interested in, there's actually two pilots in the N1 that kind of introduce kind of a mind game mechanic within the ship. The lower initiative, cheaper one is Danae Elberger, coming in at initiative 3 for just 38 points. And she has the ability, while you defend or perform an attack, if the speed of your revealed maneuver is the same as the enemy ship's, that ship's dice cannot be modified.
Right. We know this ability is good. You know, ships like Midnight that don't let your opponents modify dice, pretty good, and make two attack dice ships actually have a pretty meaningful offense. Danae's got a little bit of work to set that up. But if you can earn it, then it's real cool.
And we didn't, you know, initially spell out what the dial is on the N1, but it's pretty straightforward. It covers all the speeds, though, in X-Wing. So, you know, she's got white, one straight, and one banks. She's got blue, two straight, two banks, and white, two turns. She's got blue, three straights, three banks, and white hard turns, along with some red three-speed talon rolls, and then a white four and five straight.
Right, so a lot of options there. You have quite the potential to match your opponent.
And that creates a weird mind game where if your opponent really needs to get some modification to take down Danae, especially when she's got relatively consistent defense on those two agility dice, thanks to full throttle, suddenly they have to decide, right, well, they're probably going to go three speed and I need the modification to push the damage through. So do I go four speed straight? Do I start to, you know, do a slower maneuver than I'd like? And that creates a fun game if you're flying Danae, because suddenly you can decide, oh, what are they going to do? I'm going to expect them to, you know, they want to go two straight, but they're expecting me to match that. So they're going to go slower, faster. Pretty interesting.
Right. Now, moving on up in the points and initiative, we have Padme Amidala. Coming in at initiative 4 for 45 points. So this is our most expensive N1, but very good ability. While an enemy ship in your forward arc defends or performs an attack, that ship can modify only one focus result. Other results can still be modified. So Danae, you know, when you set it up, you can really lock down one ship. Padme is going to provide a much more general boost to your side and negative effect to your opponent's side.
And there's a lot of cool stuff about Padme's ability. The fact that it works on both defense and offense makes it really appealing. And, you know, this one seemed like the one you'd be most inclined to put Juke on. That's going to start to get pretty expensive. You know, 7 points for Juke plus 45 for Padme brings you up to 52. So that's a pretty expensive combo, but it might be worth it given that, you know, you can force your opponent into situations where you shoot at them, they roll a focus and an evade, and they have a focus token. You can convert that other evade down with Juke into a focus, and they can only modify one of those. So that's going to be a pretty effective way to push through extra damage.
Right. I mean, even without that Juke, you know, I think it's going to make these two attack dice ships, you know, be able to push through more damage than they normally could. You know, there's quite a few times where you roll double focus, and usually you're pretty happy about that.
Yeah, and I mean, defensively too, shooting at Padme is going to be a pain because not only can you not spend the focus tokens, you can't modify more than one focus result in any way. So you're going to not be able to reroll those offensively, which could get pretty painful if you only have a target lock and don't have a focus when you're shooting at her.
I mean, even if you do have a target lock and focus, and you know you get an average three dice attack roll of hit, focus, blank, well, if you reroll that focus, that means you can't spend... You know, if you get another focus result, well, you already modified a focus result by re-rolling it, so you can't even spend that focus token to do anything. So it really plays with how you normally modify your dice.
Up next for the N1, though, is the boy wonder himself, Anakin Skywalker, with his many midichlorians, coming into the game with maybe the most thematic and on-point ability that any of the designers have come up with for X-Wing.
It's certainly silly and fun. You know, so Anakin's an Initiative 4 pilot. I like, you know, he's a little baby Anakin, not quite up to his Initiative 6 prowess yet, but just 41 points, so a lot cheaper. And Anakin also comes with one Force charge. And so those Metachlorians, I guess, haven't fully kicked in either. And he's got that ability, before you reveal your maneuver, you may spend one Force charge to barrel roll. And this does not count as a barrel roll action.
So this is one of the interesting rule points for second edition that has not come up a whole lot. This is one of the first big cases for it, where there's a difference between performing a function like a barrel roll, a lock, or a boost, and performing a barrel roll or lock boost action, where if it's not specifying that it's an action, you can actually perform it multiple times in a turn, as opposed to the normal limitation where you can't boost action twice in a turn or get two focus actions in a turn.
Right, so you can do a pre-maneuver barrel roll, spending that force charge, then execute your maneuver, and still do a barrel roll, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, kind of reminiscent of the BB Astromech or the BB-8 Astromech over on the Resistance, getting that maneuver action before you start maneuvering, or even, you know, any ship that can take advanced sensors. There's actually a lot of, you know, benefit to performing, you know, a reposition before you move. It means you can end up in positions that are less than desirable, knowing that before you move, you don't have to pass over an asteroid or a debris cloud. You can do the barrel roll in advance, then perform whatever maneuver you chose.
Right. I mean, and, you know, when we think about the most powerful force talent, supernatural reflexes, well, Anakin has basically that built into him, which is pretty cool.
He is just at initiative 4, though, which means this won't be, you know, super oppressive because there's plenty of higher initiative options that can reposition and, you know, respond to whatever Anakin does.
And okay, so now bringing to our next point about Anakin, I think this is correct. You know, going off their official released points document, Anakin does not have a force power like we've seen every other force user have. Instead, he has a regular talent slot.
And I was trying to think, like, is there, maybe I'm missing one or we're missing one. Is there any force user that doesn't have the force power slot instead of the talent? Because I think he's the first one. And that's actually really interesting. I'm hoping it's not just an error they made on their points document, which I would not put outside the realm of possibilities. Errors get made. But I think it makes it pretty interesting, like the potential for a force using pilot, even one as, you know, kind of minimal as Anakin in the N1, being able to not have a force power, which in the game as it stands, I feel like the force power slot is almost kind of, you know, a handicap rather than being super special in most cases.
Right. Unless you can take the hate force power, it's a void slot. But, you know, the N1 can really appreciate the talent slot. You know, we've talked about Juke being good. I really like Predator on these guys as well, because they want to go fast and get up close and personal. So I think Predator works really well there, especially Anakin, who can barrel roll and set up that bullseye arc very well.
Yeah, I mean, the only limit here is that initiative four. So if he's dealing with higher initiative pilots, it's going to be a little harder to set that up. But being able to barrel roll twice might give you some more options. But anything, you know, at a lower initiative, he's going to be able to line up that, you know, bullseye very consistently. Because you just have so many movement options being able to barrel roll twice in a turn.
Right. Now, looking at the top of the initiative for the N1s, we have your favorite, Rickoli.
Rickoli, the greatest Star Wars character who ever lived.
Right. Initiative 5 for 42 points. So pretty affordable as far as these N1s go, and a very cool ability.
Yeah. So Rickoli's ability kind of compensates for the lower offense and agility of the N1. Rickoli's ability is, while you defend or perform a primary attack, if the speed of your revealed maneuver is higher than the enemy ship's, roll one additional die.
Right. I mean, rolling more dice, awesome. You know, we talked about these guys kind of, you know, two attack dice, is that going to be enough? Well, Rick's going to roll three, so that should be good enough. Plus three agility now with an evade token, and you could take a focus action. That seems pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and he's pretty good at being aggressive. So, you know, with the N1's maneuver dial, you have access to 4 and 5 speed straight maneuvers, which is as fast as you can go in X-Wing without, you know, taking a boost. And that puts him in an interesting position where if he is approaching an opponent and they're not in a position to take a straight maneuver, they're going to have to bank. You know that your 4 or 5 speed maneuver is going to be faster than their 3 bank or whatever they have. So that means he's going to not only be able to get the extra offense, he's going to get that extra defense, which is very important.
Right. And you can also, you know, get even cleverer here when you take that new astromech, the R2A6, which is 6 points and only for the Republic, the Gizia ability. After you reveal your dial, you can set your dial to a maneuver of the same bearing of a speed one higher or lower. You know, this is great for Denis or Rick, who really want to make sure they have the right speed for their abilities.
Right. And you can adapt, you know, if you're moving after your opponent, you can adapt actively to whatever speed they chose. So if you chose a 3 straight and they also chose a 3 speed maneuver, well, I'm just going to tick that up to a 4 speed just so I can get the extra attack power and modification.
Right. And I really like this on the banks or turns, where the variance in the speed there can be really impactful.
Yeah, like you can set, you know, a 2 bank maneuver, a 2 turn maneuver, and be ready to switch up to a, you know, a 3 turn, or if it's a bank, a 3 bank or a 1 bank.
Right. So that gives you a lot of tactical options there for just putting the ship in the right spot.
And, you know, maybe I'm being a little bit too early on this analysis. I haven't flown with Rickoli yet, but he seems kind of comparable to Lulo Lampart in the Resistance. So like,
right. Well, now he's even cheaper than Lulo.
Yeah, by default. So a ship where if you can use him effectively, you get a lot of value for not paying a lot of points. You know, a 42-point ship that can, if you can reliably roll 3 attack dice and not take a lot of damage, that's going to be, you know, in terms of value, worth way more to you than the actual point cost you're paying. There are some interesting new upgrade cards coming, though, in these N1 expansions. The astromechs are cool. We talked about R2A6 already, 6 points, and you can, you know, change that speed of your maneuver. The real question here for me is this more of a training wheels type card, kind of like Composure was the talent before people could abuse it with Tim and Wexley? Is this something that is actually good strategically, or is this just something that you take when you're not as familiar with the dial?
Right. So I'm not sure. That'll definitely take some table time experience to see just how often you're triggering R2A6 on, you know, particularly like Rick. And I think maybe after a few games, you might realize, you know what, I could do other things with those 6 points. But maybe it's just so good, you know, you get to dodge arc because you got to adjust your dial and be very reactive. And that can save your ship and be totally worth those 6 points.
The other Republic-only astromech option that they're introducing is R2C4 for 5 points. And this astromech allows you, while you perform an attack, you may spend 1 evade token to change 1 focus result into a hit result.
Right, and I think this works really well with these N1s. You know, they have generally lower initiative, And so you can respond, you know, if you don't need that evade token on defense, well, might as well put it to use on offense.
It also, you know, sets them up interestingly to get double modification on torpedoes they're going to take. We didn't talk a lot about torpedoes on the N1s, but they're looking to be actually a half decent platform to take a solitary torpedo on. And since you're getting a free evade from the full throttle ability, you can then use your normal action to take a target lock. So you can actually get 2 points of modification without having, you know, normally get target lock, focus, or target lock calculate.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, we also have the passive sensors, which is a sensor for just 3 points and has one recurring charge.
And this one uses an interesting play on the charge mechanic like we've seen in a lot of other upgrade cards, where it's not about spending the charge so much to trigger the ability. It uses the charge to measure something. So this card reads, action header, spend one charge. You can only perform this action in your perform action step. Then, while your charge is inactive, you cannot be coordinated. Before you engage, if your charge is inactive, you may perform a calculate or lock action.
Right, so I particularly like this on the cheaper N1s, like the Bravo Flight Officer. You know, you have that lower initiative, but if you want to set up some munitions, well, you just spend 3 more points on passive sensors, and if the opponent lands within your firing range, well, then you can snag that lock and maybe even use that evade token, turn it into a hit with that astromech.
Yeah, this card's design really adds an interesting new element to X-Wing 2nd Edition, where you can basically delay what action you're choosing right up until you engage. We actually have seen similar abilities. If you look at the Han Solo Gunner over on Scum and Villainy, that was one where you could get a focus action immediately before you engaged, which gave you some versatility because you might not know exactly when you needed to get that token. It does have some limits, though, because since you're getting this when you engage, if you're at a lower initiative, you're not going to have access to whatever token you get for when you get attacked. So you're kind of passing over the option of having a focus token on defense for the opportunity to, you know, maybe get a target lock that you're going to need to shoot off some ordnance.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of cool stuff coming with the N1 here. I think some really cool, diverse options right now. You can put them on the table. You know, you can get some cheap workhorse ships like the Bravo Flight Officer, some pretty cool protection abilities, you know, from the Naboo Handmaiden. I'm pretty excited about Padme Amidala's, you know, broad spectrum control effect. You know, you pair that with another broad spectrum ability like Sinker, you know, boosting your whole team's offense. Now you can have Padme also, you know, boosting the offense by weakening your opponent's defense. I think that could be a pretty cool combo. You know, you could fit 4 other Torrents with those guys. Could be a pretty cool option.
Yeah, I was excited when they announced the N1, and it looks like it's maybe going to deliver. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, folks, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Just think of Naboo and its refreshing water vistas.
I don't like sand. It's rough and coarse. Gets everywhere. Not like you, Carson.
You're breaking my heart.
This will be the stinger for the episode.